You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Luke chapter 4. Let's start reading. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all of that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are a son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, scriptures say people don't live by bread alone." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. "I will give you the glory of all these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I'll give it all to you if you'll worship me." Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point in the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. The scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity. This encounter between Jesus and the devil, we see a personal example straight from Jesus on how to withstand and how to overcome, how to win over the devil's attacks on us. And I don't believe there's much more of a more important lesson that we could learn than to stand strong with the attacks of the devil. Now, I want to remind you, when you read this, well, that was Jesus, that was God's son, he was God. Okay, hold on. Jesus took on the form of man. So when the devil is tempting Jesus here, he's not tempting Jesus as God, he's tempting Jesus in the form of a man. So make sure that you've got that distinction in your mind. The devil tempted Jesus. It says in every way we're tempted, body, soul, and spirit. He tempted the body with food. He tempted the soul or his mind with being worshipped. He tempted the spirit with testing God. And we see Jesus answering the devil. And he taught us a powerful lesson here that we've got to see as we look at this unfold as the devil is after Jesus. Because I want you to know the devil's after us all the time. He's after us all the stinking time. And it's not just one time here and one time there. It's throughout the day. It's all the time the devil is after our mind. So I want to look at this. The point that we get out of this, you see Jesus in his mind, "I know who I am. I know who I am. I know what I've come here to do. So I don't have anything to prove to you right now." The title of today's message is "Nothing to Prove." Nothing to prove. I like to give you the bottom line, the point of the message right up front, because I'm well aware that many of you tune out the sermon. You daydream and you think about all that you're going to do this next week. And so I want to quickly get you to the bottom line for those who are going to leave me. Here's what I want you to get. When you know who you are, and when you know that God created you to do what he created you to do, the devil can't get you. The devil won't get you. It's when you're trying to prove yourself to other people, and it's when you're trying to prove yourself to yourself, that the devil will get you. See y'all in about 20 minutes. Let's get on with the ones that are serious about this. This generation is suffering from insecurities at an unprecedented level. There's no generation in the history of time that has dealt with low self-esteem and insecurities like this era in world history today. You read interviews with movie stars, and they talk about their number one problem is insecurity. You see interviews with TV stars. You see interviews with models, the most gorgeous bodies that our entertainment industry can come up with, and you interview them, and their number one hang-up is insecurities. and their fear and their worries of low self-esteem. It's mind-boggling. We interview the athletes that are world-class athletes, and their biggest thing is insecurities. Insecurities and trying to be somebody. Insecurity is a deception that this era in history is buying into. It's a deception. Who decides the perfect weight? Who decides if you're fat or if you're skinny? I took a good friend of ours years ago that, I don't know, well over 400 pounds, close to 500 pounds, took him to Honduras. They almost worshiped the man down there. You go to a country that is hungry, that poverty is there, the bigger a person is, the prettier they are, because that's a sign of wealth. That's a sign of being somebody. I mean, who decided in our country how much you ought to weigh, or what is the perfect height, or what is the perfect skin color, or what is the perfect hair color? I mean, it's a deception. Insecurity is a deception that we're buying into. Here's what I want you to get. When a person is insecure, they are prime for temptations. They are, it is a fertile ground for temptation. And when a person is insecure, they are an easy target to do something that they should have never done, to say something they should have never said, and to act in a way they should have never acted. Jesus stood strong against temptation because he was fully aware of who he was. We read at a very early age, Jesus came to the understanding of who in the manhood, in the physical, in the natural, he came at a very early age to understand who he was. He's a child of God. I'm here on an assignment. I'm here to do something. And I don't have anything to prove to myself or to other people. I know who I am. God put me on this earth to do something. I'm here to do something. This funnel drinking, I don't know if you're watching this on the news, where kids, young teenagers, are taking a funnel and holding it up with a tube that goes straight bypassing their swallowing and pouring alcohol in. And the way you win this game is you're the last one still standing. You pour alcohol straight in your stomach until you pass out. You don't have anything to prove. You don't have anything to prove. When they start that, you think to yourself, I'm here to do something, and funnel drinking isn't it. I'm here to do something, and a car full of my friends wanting me to go 100 miles an hour is not it. I'm here to do something, but that's not it. I'm here to do something, but smoking dope ain't it. I'm here to do something, but taking things for a thrill that I didn't pay for is not it. I'm here to do something, and this isn't it. Say it with me. I'm here to do something, and this isn't it. I want you to learn how to say that. I want you to learn how to say that. Say it again. I'm here to do something, and this isn't it. I want you to learn how to say that. See, Jesus knew how to say that. I'm here to do something, and jumping off of this building right here is not it. I'm here to do something, but this isn't it. You've got to be able to say that. Let's look. Luke chapter 4, verse 2. Jesus didn't eat anything 40 days. He became hungry. He became aware of a physical need that he had. Then the devil says to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus became aware of a physical need that he had. I doubt very seriously that there's anybody here today that has a physical need of something to eat. We all got plenty to eat. But what is your physical need? What have you become aware of that you need? I mean, this clunker just broke down and you need a car. What have you become aware of? You need a house. I mean, you need some clothes. You've become aware that you need some new clothes. Nothing in this closet fits me. We're aware of that every day at our house. We have nothing to wear. Nothing to wear. We have nothing. Zero. Nothing to wear. I don't have any shoes to wear. It's amazing. We become aware of a need. a physical need that we have. If you don't know who you are, you've got to prove yourself to yourself and to others by how much bread you have. How big a loaf do you have? How big? See, all of a sudden, it's not about the physical need I have. It wasn't about the fact that Jesus was hungry here, get a bite of bread. It was about proving to himself he's somebody by turning this stone into bread. You got to make a statement. See, it wasn't about Jesus getting him a bite to eat. It was all about making a statement about who you are. It's about making a statement. And the devil tempted Jesus because he had a physical need of being hungry to make a statement about who he was by turning this stone into bread. You need a vehicle. I get that. We got to get back and forth to work, to school. We sure got to get to church. You got to be able to haul people around. But whenever you don't know who you are, all of a sudden, you need a vehicle that will make you somebody in your own eyes and to make you somebody in the eyes of the people that you're around. See, you want people to see you in this vehicle at the stoplight. You get out of your car at school or at work and you walk kind of slow and sort of lean up against it because you're looking for that car to give a signal to these people who are looking to you to look at who I am because of this car. See, is your house a place for you to enjoy? Your house a place for you to raise your family? A place to be a blessing to other people? To have people over to your house and have cookouts and for you to enjoy life in your house? Or are you needing that physical need of a house to make you somebody? To make you somebody in your own eyes? To make you somebody in the eyes of the people who drive by and see your house? See, when you don't know who you are, you will fall into temptation to obtain something that right now you can't afford. You'll buy something that you don't need to be buying right now. Where you are right now, you don't need to be driving that new car. Buy you a used car, take that money and put it in the bank and save for something a whole lot bigger than a depreciable item. You don't need to drive that kind of car where you are in life. But when you're trying to make sure that your peers and your people around you know I'm somebody, it will make you buy something that you didn't have any business buying. It'll make you obtain something that will end up hurting you or destroying you. Something that should have been a blessing to you will take you out because you got into payments that you didn't need to be into right now. Here's what I want you to know. Possessions will never make you who you are. Never. Not one time ever. Not one time ever. And I've done countless funerals and memorial services, and I have never, ever heard anybody stand up and to remember this person, they talked about the size of house they had. That's never mentioned. I've never been in a funeral where they talked about the year model car that this person always drove. Possessions don't make you who you are. They don't make you who you are, not in anybody else's eyes and not in your own eyes. Possessions don't make you. Know who you are in Jesus. Know who you are. You're a child of God. God created you for a plan and a purpose, and his hand is on you. And you be confident in that, and you make sure that daily, all the time, you're watching out for the deception that you have to possess something to be somebody. That's a lie. It's a deception, and I want you to know that. I want all of our teenagers in here to stand up. All of our teenagers, just stand up for just a minute. If you're a teenager, I want you to stand up all over this place. Teenagers everywhere. Never fall for this lie. Teenagers, you never fall for this lie. Now listen to me. The size of the house that your family has doesn't make you who you are. The kind of car that you're dropped off at school in does not make you who you are. The kind of car that you're able to drive for your first car, it doesn't make you who you are. It has nothing to do. What somebody else has and what you have doesn't have anything to do with what God's called you to do. God's equipped you. He's called you. He's gifted you. You have unique talents. Each one of you, your thumbprint's different than anybody else in this place. And you have unique talents and abilities. And God has a certain thing for you to do. And it doesn't have anything to do with how big your friend's house is or how big your house is. Don't buy into the lie that possessions make you somebody. I want you to know, your clothes, your car, your house, stuff doesn't make you who you are. What's in here makes you who you are. Y'all can sit down. Give our teenagers a big hand today. I want you to understand. Write this down. I want everybody to write this down. Possessions won't make you secure in who you are. Possessions don't do it. Praise God. Today, if you're looking for a car, I pray you get one. I pray you get a great one. Praise God, if you're in need of a house, I hope you get a great house, and I hope you're blessed with a beautiful house. I'm for houses, I'm for cars, I'm for clothes. If you need some shoes, I hope you get 45 more pair of shoes. That's just, the more shoes, the better it all. But just get you, never look for them to make you somebody. Never look to them to make you somebody. Let's read on verse 5. Then the devil takes him up and reveals to him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. I'll give you all the glory. All the glory. Everybody in the world will know you. Everybody will worship. I'll give you all the glory. Everybody will know. Everybody will know. You'll be the most popular kid in school. Oh, I want all of our teenagers in here to stand up. All of our teenagers just stand right back up. This time you ought to know who you are. It took some of you quite a while to figure it out. This time, just pop right up. It would be the same ones that were teenagers last time, unless somebody's had a birthday in the last 40, 50 seconds here. When you're insecure, you will do things to be popular or to fit in that you should never have done. You shouldn't have done that. You wouldn't have done that had you thought about it for 1 second. But the drive to be popular and the drive to be accepted, the drive to fit in, will cause you to do something that you should have never done. When you buy into the deception that you're not as pretty as, you're not as athletic as, you're not as well, when insecurity sets in, there is a drive for popularity that pushes you outside where you need to be. Here's what I want to tell y'all today. The fact is, there are some people that because of my interest and their interest, their abilities, my abilities, what they do, what I do, there are some people that I connect with and connect very quickly and very closely with. There are other people that because of their interest and what they do, I don't connect at all with. And that's okay. That is okay. But see, when you're proving yourself, you are tormented by a party going on that you haven't been invited to. You're tormented the fact that this group over here and these little clique over here and this clique over here doesn't like me. I don't fit in. And when you're insecure, you have to fit in to be popular. Let me just tell you, when you know who you are in Him and you hear about a party that you weren't invited to, you're thrilled because I didn't want to go to that party anyway. The more parties I'm not invited to, the happier I tend to be. I just want you to know this. I hear about things going on all the time that I'm not invited to, and I am so happy because I don't like none of the people over there anyway. Come on, don't you let popularity, the fear of not being accepted, drive you, because here's what happens. You start doing things that you shouldn't have done. For this boy to accept you, you do things you should have never done. For this group to accept you, you're involved and you're in situations you shouldn't be involved in. And the crisis of insecurity, it pushes you to seek popularity, and it will cause you to make decisions and to do actions that the next day you're ashamed of. The next day you wish you hadn't have done it. And you can't believe you did that yourself. Why did you do it? Why did you do it? The pressure of that moment. I want our teenagers here today to be free from the pressure of popularity. You know who you are. And you know you're here for a special reason and a special purpose. Y'all can be seated. Let's give our teenagers a big hand here today. See, when you get a hold of who you are in the Lord, you do things because this is what I'm supposed to do. Oh, I don't play basketball, so I'm not in. Let me just tell you, there are people who do play basketball and they're not in. There are people who don't play basketball and they are in. I got news for you. Basketball doesn't put you in or out. It's what's in here that puts you in or out. Basketball is a wonderful sport for those who like to play basketball, and I just hope they're great at it. But it doesn't make you who you are. Knowing who God created you makes you who you are. You walk secure, and I want you to live your whole life thinking to yourself, I don't have anything to prove. I don't have anything to prove. Don't let a drive for popularity make you do something that you should have never done. Number one, material possessions don't make you somebody. Number two, popularity does not make you somebody. Let's read on. Verse 9. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you're the Son of God, jump off. He's going to order his angels to protect and guard you. They'll hold you up. Performance will not make you who you are. Performance won't make. When you know who you are and you're secure in that, you don't have a drive to perform some feat so everybody can see your performance. You know, I want to be in a Christmas production. Because it's a great way to use whatever gifts that I may have, portraying Jesus. But I don't have to be in it so everybody can see me. See, I want to play basketball because I like the sport. I like the game. I enjoy the friends. I enjoy the camaraderie. I want to play basketball. But I'm not playing it to be somebody. I'm already somebody. I want to sing on Sunday morning. By the way, we need some guitar players. There's some people out there. We need a couple of electric guitar players. Play lead up here. If you play electric guitar, stop sitting there. We need your help. Some of you need to get involved playing some musical instruments up here. Because that's what you do. But it's not so everybody can see me and I can put on. See, you don't have to perform. You don't have to perform. Here, we'll take my car on Friday night because I can drive the speed limit. I don't have to perform for everybody in the car to put on a show so they'll think. All of our teenagers in here, y'all stand real quick. All of our teenagers, just it'd be the same group that stood the previous two times. If you're sitting by some, teenagers have a real short memory span. So if you're sitting by somebody who stood a while ago, punch them and say, that's you. Remember yours? Oh, yeah, I'm still a teenager. Oh, good. Same group. That's amazing. All of y'all listen very carefully. When you're in a car with other teens, you make sure you have nothing to prove. I want all of our teenagers that are members of this church, I want you to know, in a car with a group of kids, you don't have anything to prove. When the kids in the back seat are hollering, go faster, go faster, go faster, go faster, you don't have to perform for this group of kids in the back seat. You keep that thing 10, 15 miles an hour. Okay, 20. You don't have to go 100. Let's do it 100. Let's see. Will it get 100? Let's get it to 100. You don't have. See, when you're insecure, you're driven to perform to be somebody. You don't have anything to prove, guys. When you're in a car with a bunch of other teens, you don't have anything to prove. While you're standing, and we're talking about this, if you happen to get caught up in a car with a driver who all of a sudden feels like they've got something to prove, you get out. At the first stoplight, get out. Call your parents, they'll come get you. If they won't call me, I'll come get you. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll come get you. I'd rather see you this way than see you the other way. I'll come get you at 3 in the morning. You get out of the car. You bet. Don't sit in there in that car with somebody behind the wheel that's got something to prove. When they are going to start driving and passing around something to snort or huff or drink or what, just get out of the car. Come on, you don't have anything to prove, young people. You're here on a divine assignment. You are created by God. Your parents didn't pick you. God picked you. Your parents didn't choose your giftings and your abilities and your wiring. Your parents didn't choose that. God did before the foundations of the earth. And he birthed you here and put you in this geographical location, in this date in history, because he has something for you to do. And if it's play ball, play ball. If it's not, that's fine. But you don't have to do that to be somebody. You don't have to drive your car at 100 miles an hour to be somebody. I want you to understand today, I don't have nothing to prove to nobody. I don't have to put on a performance to be accepted. Y'all give our teenagers a big hand. Good to have y'all here this morning. I'll be dang if teenagers are going to sleep through my sermons. Jesus is teaching us, don't fall into temptation to prove yourself. When you're secure in who you are, you're free then to do what you do, because there's no pressure on you to perform. I'm in the Christmas play. I forgot my lines. Somebody give it to me. I'm just letting you know right up front, you're not the first person in the world to forget a line in a play. You're not the last person that's going to forget a line in a play. It don't make you somebody because you remembered it, and it's not going to make you nobody because you forgot it. Enjoy being in the play. Enjoy playing basketball. Take the shot. If you miss it, you're not the first person to miss a shot playing basketball. You are not the last person to miss a shot playing basketball. Throw me the ball again, I'll jack it up again. It's what I'm out here to do. You can't make any points dribbling. Throw it to me. I'll get, at least get it closer to the goal than you are. Some gun might fall in. But I'm not under any pressure to perform. You're not under pressure to perform. I sing a little flat. Next week, I may sing a little sharp. I'm up here singing. Beats what you're doing. Come on. You're not under any pressure to perform whenever you know who you are and you understand I'm on an assignment. There's no performance pressure in life. Way too many today live in the proving themselves mode. Prove yourself to somebody. Prove your importance. Prove your significance. Jesus showed us in Luke chapter 4. Temptation comes to prove yourself. Popularity, possessions, performance. I want you to be free from those things today. And I want you to leave here today knowing you're on an assignment by God and you don't have nothing to prove. Y'all stand with me. All of our teenagers here, do we have any teenagers here today? All of y'all come right down here. I'm sick of going to funerals. I'm sick of going to prison. I'm sick of visiting young people's lives that have been ruined because they felt like they had something to prove. All of you right up in here. I want the teens in our church to know you don't have to prove yourself to nobody. You don't have to prove yourself to nobody. You don't have to perform. You don't have to do some feat. You don't have to outdrink everybody to be somebody. I want you to know you are somebody. You're somebody, and you're somebody special. I want you to know there isn't any perfect height, weight. There's not any perfect athletic ability. There's not any perfect, but I want you to know today, that's all a lie. That's all a lie. And when you look in the mirror, don't you look at yourself and compare to somebody else who is just as insecure as you are. The movie star that you think has got the gorgeous body is ODing on drugs because they're so insecure. I want you to know who you are. I want you to know who you are. And I want you to live to the fullest that this life has for you to live. I want you to get everything out of this life that it has to get out of. And I don't want your life to be cut short because you felt like you had to prove yourself to somebody. Now, this lie and this deception is going to stop in our church. It's going to stop with the women in our church. It's going to stop with the men in our church. You enjoy your house. You don't have to prove nothing to nobody about your house. You enjoy your vehicle. You don't have to prove nothing to nobody about your vehicle. This church is going to enjoy life. We're going to enjoy living. We're going to enjoy stuff. We're going to enjoy our cars and our houses and our hobbies. And we're going to enjoy our stuff because I don't have pressure on my stuff to make me somebody. God makes me somebody. Now, we're breaking this curse. We're breaking this curse that starts over in our teenage years and it carries all the way through our life. Father God, today, we stand before you and we bind the devil off of our lives, off of our minds. Devil, it is written. It is written. It is written. Devil, you're not pushing me, and you're not pushing me, and you're not pushing me, devil, to do something that's not what I'm here to do. Father God, today, I submit myself to you, and I am who I am because of you. I am who I am, God, because of you. God, I am who I am because of you. And Lord, today I leave this church enjoying life because I'm not under pressure to prove myself to anybody. Today, Lord, I leave here knowing I have nothing to prove. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.